They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to the Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And fellas, Championship Sunday is here in the NFL. I consider it the best sports day of the year. I love Championship Sunday. I'm going to be at the Link covering the Vikings, Eagles, Jaguars, Patriots are up in Foxborough. We never really give out sports predictions, but Championship Sunday is special. So we're going to have to do that, and then we're going to do it again for the Super Bowl. I've been on record saying that it's going to be a Patriots-Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl. I've said that on my NFL podcast show for the AP. So I can't change my mind now. I'm going to stick with the Patriots and the Eagles. In the NFC, I've been 3-1 picking winners. I almost was 4-0 if the Saints could have tackled at the end of the game against the Vikings. I had the Saints going in. But from Eagles fans' perspective, I've been telling them since October, you better hope that Drew Brees and the Saints don't make it to the Link.
Everybody was hoping that.
And you saw the way Drew Brees just 38 years old, just turned 39 years old, and that guy still got it. One of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and a brother in Christ as well. So
absolutely. I actually heard that he got first place in all the physical testing that they did out of every player on the team.
Is that right?
Wow.
Preseason testing.
He's incredible. And
walk-in Hall of Famer.
I thought it would have been a great Brady Brees Super Bowl. Yeah. I know you guys want to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and I feel the Eagles are going to win this game. They're going to find a way. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I had them winning 27-17 against the Falcons. Boy, was I off there. They won that game, but it was a nail-biter, and it was way
But you got the win.
Off.
That's what was most important.
Pastor Kyle, you had a close game. You knew that was going to be a little low-scoring, didn't you?
Yeah, the defenses are just so tight. The Eagles' defense is just so stellar at the moment, but to be able to hold Matt Ryan and the Falcons' explosive offense to really 10 points off of, really four fumbles as
yeah,
well.
I mean, yeah,
the
yeah.
Eagles turned the ball over. They turned the ball over in inopportune times. It was a windy, crazy day for special teams as well. So, I thought the defense played brilliantly.
So I'm going to stick with a low-scoring affair. Yeah. I think it's going to be – now you got the Vikings, number one defense in the NFL. You got the Eagles, who are going to be tired of hearing how great the Vikings defense is. And when you got two evenly matched teams like you do here, I do feel that a little extra motivation. Eagles being the underdogs, they busted out the dog mask. They're going to get tired of hearing how they are the underdog, how this defense is so great. I feel like they're going to show up. They're going to cause some problems for Case Keenum. And as I told you guys before the show, I feel like we'll see Sam Bradford, because Keenum will get rattled into a mistake or two. And Mike Zimmer's going to pull him and try and rescue the game in the second half with Sam Bradford. I got Eagles in a goofy score, 18-13. You'll take that?
Yeah, that's a lot of predictions right there, Rob. Especially, some bold predictions with Sam Bradford coming in. I'm actually going to go, I think that we get some more defensive and special teams touchdowns and just good field position. And I think that we lost that advantage, especially when we did fumble so much.
Agreed.
I think it just took us out where we could have been there. And I think some small things that just went the Eagles' way would have changed that whole scope. And we really should have scored, two more touchdowns, I think, with going for field goals instead of touchdowns when they're close to the goal line. I'm going to go 30-23 Eagles.
Oh,
30-20. You got the over. Wow. Way over.
I think those field goals that they're getting in the red zone, I think they turn into touchdowns this week.
Yeah, I think we're talking 2016. I think the Vikings have the ability to move the ball a little bit, but they're going to turn a lot of field goals. I still believe in our offense. I think we're going to get a couple from Jake Elliott as well, and play some field position. But the Vikings defense is, they're beasts. I don't think their secondary is as great as their front seven. But their front seven is really, really
good. And the thing that they do is they can get a pass rush from that front four
from the front four,
seven.
Exactly right.
And that's going to be tough.
But I think the Eagles, I think that's the Eagles' plan as well. So, but I think the difference a little bit, Rob, is really who's sitting at quarterback position. Case Keenum, I know he's been around the league a little while, but really the first big major pressure start here in the NFC Championship game. And Nick really has a little bit more of full game time pedigree.
He's more accomplished.
Yeah.
If you look at his overall body of work,
absolutely.
Nick Foles is more accomplished.
You and I know, especially from the quarterback position, it really is the more that you have seen, the quicker you process. And when the pressure's on in these kind of situations, and I know Schwartz will be throwing everything at him, so will the Vikings as well. Zimmer's going to come up with a phenomenal game plan. But, you know, Nick has probably seen more and been able to process a little bit faster. So I'll take it.
It's going to come down to turnovers.
This is Faith on the Field show, right? We got to give Case Keenum some credit for stepping out there after making that throw, that phenomenal comeback. What an incredible game.
Rob, what was the name of that play?
Seven Heaven.
Seven Heaven.
And then afterwards, in one of his interviews, I heard one, then he did another one. And in one of those interviews with Fox right there on the field, he says third greatest moment of his life behind one, giving his life to Jesus Christ, and two, getting married. So that was awesome. Stephon Diggs, who made the catch, the touchdown catch, gave all glory to God. And you know, one day we'll do that as a show, where when these guys say they're giving glory to God and they're thanking their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that Christ is with them and he's not with the other team.
Yeah.
It's they're appreciating their platform and they're thankful for that. But let's give out a quick AFC. Who saw the Jaguars coming in and beating the Steelers and getting to the AFC championship? I know they got a great defense, and well, for as great as that defense was, they did allow 42 points to the Steelers.
Right.
They won that game because their offense stepped it up. But they're going to Foxborough. The Patriots are an entirely different level. I had the Patriots winning by 21, 34-13 against the Titans. They won 35-14. So I finally got one right.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going to take the Patriots here to roll all over the Jaguars, something like 30-13.
I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go with the Jags. So
I like
not,
it.
Not only
Be
because
contrarian.
That's what I want to root for, but I think, you know, when you look at the Jaguars against Buffalo, that was an awful game. I think for both offensively and defensively.
Right.
It was ridiculous. So you don't know what team's really going to show up. So who knows? Is it going to be the same team that showed up against Pittsburgh, or will it be the team that showed up against Buffalo? But I'm going to go Jags, kind of in a close one. We'll go 27-24.
Write that down.
Right.
27-24. Doug Horton calling a Jaguars.
And you got Paps. What was yours, Rob?
30-13, Patriots.
All right.
Pass the cop?
You know, I can't.
Hate is a strong word.
I know.
Word,
you're going to make me actually have to say that the Brady's going to win, right? Belichick's a genius.
Yeah, he is.
I love that Jacksonville defense, but I love Fournette, boy. He is a powerful runner. He's
got a little
speed
banged
and
up, though.
He did. And
I think
that the Patriots defense is as good as Patriots defense in the past, but I do believe that Belichick is going to be able to throw some things at Bortles he's never seen before. So I'm probably a little bit more with you, Rob. I think, and I wanted to say Jags. I wanted to be with you, Doug.
That's right. I'll step up. I'll man up.
I'm probably going a little bit more with Rob's kind of score. I think it's even going to be 30-6. I don't think.
Wow.
Maybe 9, 30-9. I don't think the Jags are going to be able to move the ball.
I appreciate the greatness that is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I know they get a lot of hate around this country, and people just hate, and they're tired of seeing the Patriots. But you're talking about a guy who is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time, and doing things at that age.
No.
Doing things at that. Are you going to go Joe Montana on me?
Absolutely.
We're going to have to have that argument at some point.
Let's see. He never lost in a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He never had to actually have the other teams practice on video.
True.
Uh-huh. Very true.
What?
Don't get into the deflated balls nonsense.
I think Deflategate was the dumbest thing on the planet, because I think that's ridiculous.
Okay.
But there's a vast difference between Deflategate, which was stupid, and Spygate.
Well,
I think there's a vast difference between knowing someone else's signals,
knowing their
game plan. Here's
the thing with Spygate, though. You can film other teams. It's just where you are in the stadium. I think that there was a lot of that was blown out of proportion. But you know what? Patriots-Eagles rematch would be a phenomenal Super Bowl.
And you know who the Eagles played same year, right? The Eagles played Atlanta,
Vikings and Falcons,
and Minnesota,
in reverse
order. Maybe we just change things up a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take the reverse of that Super Bowl.
That might be my prediction, but you know, hey, I'll take We'll give predictions.
It's only fitting on Championship Sunday that we have on as one of our guests, one of the NFL's all-time greats. Our guest is Dallas Cowboys 10-time Pro Bowl tight end, Jason Witten. And Jason is still going strong after 15 seasons in the NFL, going to come back again. He will be in the Hall of Fame 5 years after he retires. He'll be a first ballot. Fit him for that gold jacket for Canton, and he'll be down there. But, fellas, our topic today is something that I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's going to be one of my favorites, and I'm really excited to discuss it because we're going to call this show, let's call it Man Up.
Man Up.
Man Up. We hear this phrase, Man Up, so often as guys. You hear it in a locker room, you hear it at the gym, you hear it on the field, you hear it wherever you are, you hear Man Up. Another one we hear is real men. A real man does this, a real man does that. But what defines a real man? And you got Ryan shaking his head back there. Listen up, buddy. Listen up. As you're flexing back there. I love it. Listen up. Because a real man...
Hat on backwards, unshaven. Yeah,
perfect, right? He's got the whole thing down.
Rage Against the Machine shirt, anarchy. It's all
man. That's real man, right? Real man. I'm a guy who I'm confident enough in my masculinity to say I enjoy a nice pumpkin macchiato or a butterscotch latte.
Nothing wrong.
Butterscotch, a new flavor.
It's nice.
Butterscotch is a good flavor.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I enjoy that, right?
Yeah.
And Doug, you know what? I enjoy a nice romantic comedy. I'm not an action movie guy. I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not a drama. I like a nice romantic comedy. And my favorite movie of all time is Sweet Home Alabama.
I mean, that is one of the best, you know.
Right?
One of the best movies of all time, true. But I do like an action film also, so I wouldn't, take that over.
You went for Sweet Home Alabama?
No. I think you're walking the line there, big man. I'm just saying. Walking the line.
Hey, it makes me cry every time. I love it. But you know what? I'll hear comments for some of these things like, yo, put a skirt on, man. Put a skirt on. But here's another thing I'm not embarrassed to say, right? I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm a guy who takes care of my appearance. So, like, I man groom. I pluck my eyebrows. I shave my body. I work out. I like to shave my body in the summertime because I feel like hair hides muscle definition. So I'm going to shave. I love fashion.
We're letting it all go today, aren't we? Huh? We're letting it all
go. I know.
Today,
it's all coming out. I'm fine with that.
How about the pedicure and the manicure?
I draw the line there.
No. Do you draw the line?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you do the massage? I'm a fan of the massage.
I had one time in Florida down in spring training. I slept in this horrific bed, right? And I had a massage. Someone came to the room, and it looked like one of those. You remember in Living Color?
Oh, yeah.
In Living Color back in the day. Remember one of the characters, Vera Koza or something?
Yeah.
Like this big, right? Jim Carrey played this like big Russian lady. That's exactly that's the person who did my massage.
That's awesome.
And I was so scared. I've never had one ever since. that I would do because, you know, you need a nice deep tail. That I would do. But a manicure, pedicure, I draw the line there. You know what? I'll admit if a guy's a good looking man, I have no problem saying to Remy or saying, hey, that's a good looking guy. I'll never say it about a woman because I feel it's disrespectful to my wife.
I agree.
And I think some men, you know, feel, oh, no, it's okay. We could say that. That's on you. But I'm confident enough in my masculinity to say, Tom Brady is one of the greatest looking men, great quarterback, one of the greatest looking men out there, too. I probably have more shoes in my closet than most women. And you know, here's another term out here besides put a skirt on. Oh, you got to trade in your man card. Right?
True.
You ever use that? You ever use that yourselves? Like, you got to trade in your man card. And that term man card irritates me because what is it? Like, is there a 3x5 index card that confirms your manhood because you don't care about your appearance or you are all big and burly or tough for is being a real man? Is it sitting on a couch all sloppy and disgusting, chugging beer, scarfing down pizza and chicken wings? Would that make me more of a man than drinking a latte? Like, is that going to define my manhood? I'll tell you what I think a real man is. And it has nothing to do with my food or beverage selections or my fashion or style or growing a beard. I even grew a beard just for the show. Or bench pressing 500 pounds or hitting home runs or playing hurt because I want to have that discussion later on because I've played hurt and I think now I look back on it and I think it's irresponsible as opposed to being a real man.
That's going to be a tough discussion. Especially,
that's going to be an interesting discussion.
Yeah, let's do that in segment three.
That might be a whole show, but that's all right.
So for me... For me, a real man is someone who takes responsibility for being the priest, provider, and protector of his household. A real man puts God and family ahead of himself. A real man is unselfish all the time. All the time. You put you're selfless. You're unselfish. A real man, you know what? A real man helps his wife as much as possible. You know, you change diapers, you wash the dishes, you even run the vacuum. I love to run a vacuum. You do your own laundry. I don't want to hear, hey, do my laundry. You do your own laundry. A real man spends time with his kids instead of sitting in front of the TV all day watching sports or whatever it is you want to watch. A real man finds a way to make things work in a difficult marriage instead of walking away. And a real man sets the standard for his children and his family by living as an example of Christ. That's what a real man is. That's how I view a real man. It's got nothing to do with how you look, how you act, how you feel. That's what it's all about. That's a real man. And I put together, fellas, I put together what, you know, a real man should be defined by God's code, not the world's code.
That's good.
So I have a list of 10 things, and I found a Bible verse to accompany each one. And number one, real men don't leave their wives. And in Mark 10:9, it says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Number two, real men honor their wives as co-heirs. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Number three, real men teach their children God's ways, both in word and in action. In Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Number four, I have real men build into the lives of other men. And how often have we talked about Proverbs 27:17, right?
Iron
sharpens iron. Number five, real men don't use their words to demean others. And how difficult is this for all of us? And I find it so tough in this industry, in this business, to be critical but not demeaning. And Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Number six, I got real men don't get carried away with anger. James 1:19-20. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Number seven, real men lead best when they love most. I've got Ephesians all over this. Ephesians 5:1-2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do because you are his dear children.
Yep.
And three more to go. Real men are sacrificial for the sake of their Lord, family, and others. John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Real men are servants. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And here's one of my favorites. Number 10, I put real men can show their emotions because when we're talking about Lazarus in the Bible, John 11:35, it says, then Jesus wept. So that is my God's code for real man. Take it away, guys.
It's good. I love that Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. So when I was a kid, you know, you're in youth group and they made you memorize scripture.
Right.
I always memorized that one. That was a good one. All right, Jesus wept. Rob, what you did is you really laid some great things out. I think for me, it always goes back to the original mandate of God. In Genesis 1:28, where we're talking about, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, fill and subdue the earth, take dominion. So I think we begin to see what man was supposed to be created for in the sense of be fruitful, which is all about character and integrity, having a sense of moral excellence. Jesus talks about good men and good people bring good things from the heart that's inside of them. You know, so are we men who have integrity in our lives? Because character isn't what we do when everyone's looking. Character is what we do when no one's looking.
Love that.
And I think that's one of those things. So do we have moral excellence? And then it talks about we multiply. Now, I know we all love that because we're thinking, uh-huh. We like the action to multiply. But what he's actually talking there is relational excellence. Uh-huh. You know, being able to have excellent relationships, multiplying relationships, relationships that actually produce fruit, produce good things, both relationally and spiritually, because some people don't have legitimate children, they have spiritual children. And so, you know, in that concept, we know how to do relationship well based on what the Word of God says, which is based in love and unity and forgiveness. And then, you know, he talks about filling the earth and subduing it. It's really understanding that there's vocation with a purpose. We don't exist on this planet without a purpose. So going to work, yes, he's going to have to. He had to tend the garden. Adam had to tend the garden.
That's right.
He actually had to work, but there was work with a purpose behind it. So when we go to work, when we live this thing out, it's not just to make money. It's not just to kind of get promotion. It's actually seeing the purpose of God in the marketplace, wherever that marketplace may be, not letting work define me, but my definition in Christ, me being defined in Christ, being able to define my workplace. And so many men define their lives by what they do rather than define what they do by who they are.
Correct.
That's why we get screwed up so often. And then in that last thing, it says take dominion. How do we use authority correctly? We have been empowered to lead. We have been empowered to make a difference and elevate. But are we using that place? You said, you know, speak good words to each other. Do you know one of Adam's first jobs was to name the animals? So as part of his authority, it was actually to help the, others to understand the identity God wanted to give them, help them to be able to understand their role in the environment that God created them within. And so are we actually using our words to elevate our wives, elevate our kids, elevate our classmates, our schoolmates? Because words have power. Proverbs 18:21, you know, with the tongue, we have the power of life and death. You know, we talked a little bit before about it's never... you know, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This is the biggest lie on the planet.
Right.
Hey, break my arm, right? It'll heal. But many of us carry the scars from verbal batterings that we've taken for years that have affected us. And then, you know, ultimately in that whole process, buddy, you know, that all falls in under, do we have spiritual purity? Because all of those things God was giving him in the atmosphere of walking with him every day, So are we men who actually walk with God every day, get our direction from him, get our voice from him, get our heartbeat from him, and then learn to love like he loves in the world around us? So for me, I think those are kind of the things that I look at as a man.
You know, it's always good to have a checklist, right? So the worst thing you could possibly do is take a look at what both you guys laid out and say, that doesn't apply to me.
Correct.
Hey, I can't do that, right? I mean, we're setting a benchmark here to say, hey, you know what? Even if you can't do this or you don't think that you should be doing this, it's still a benchmark. You should still try to achieve this.
Because we can't even, none of us can even live that out. You think all those things I laid out there, you think I could do all those?
But most of the time, the opposite of all that is you being selfish, self-conceited, self-seeking, that you're just thinking that the world owes you. And the worst thing you could do is the people that love you the most, your family, your friends that are close to you, thinking that you deserve something from them. And listen, we're all guilty of that, right? I mean, I fall into this trap all the time, is thinking like, hey, I worked hard today, so I need to come home and be able to relax, and I need to be served at this time. Or you can't do this because I need this, right?
Yep.
And controlling other people. And I struggle with that all the time, just thinking that, hey, this is how I'm feeling, and so this is how everybody else around me should act. And I have this discussion with my wife all the time, and pretty much fail miserably at doing some of those things.
It's a process.
Yeah, but you know what? When you have, you know, and we have girls, right? Yeah. You know, as daughters, and I think how you would want men to treat your daughters changes your perspective of what you want as a man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when you think about man card, I don't want a guy marrying my daughter and thinking that she is just going to serve him for the rest of his
life. Big, tough, macho dude. I'm a man, right? I'm a man.
That's interesting, Doug, though. Isn't that how we look at the bride of Christ? I'm just here. I'm doing everything. So the bride of Christ is supposed to serve me. Church is supposed to serve me. No, no, no. As a man,
I just go in and get fed.
Absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah. Bring me my food. Clean up after me. Clean up my messes.
That's
serve
great.
Me. And yet, if we don't understand,
but I don't really want to commit.
Correct.
So don't ask me. Don't ask me to speak out, or don't ask me to do a little bit more than I'm uncomfortable with.
You want to you want to show up, right? People want to show up, or if they want to be part, right? They want to be part of the church. They want like the glamorous position. You know, they don't want nursery duty, right?
Without responsibility.
Yeah, nobody wants nursery duty, right? So, I mean, that's kind of the thing. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, I'll take the offering. I think that sounds like a really I'll serve by collecting the money, right?
Hands,
but you know what? You want me to go into nursery and change some poopy diapers? Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know,
what
I want to do later on after we have the Jason Witten interview on? I'm going to tell you some of the things that I thought a real man was all about. Back maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, how I lived my life too a little bit, and I want to shout out Sean Spellman, who is a phenomenal athlete, and you know what he says on Facebook Live? I love changing my son's diapers, and I'm a vacuum lover too. I love it, Sean. Way to go, man! That's a real man.
Notice he didn't say he's a pumpkin spice latte lover. Not you see what I'm saying? He drew the line.
He drew the line. I draw the line at manicure pedicure. I don't go there, but I'm all about my pumpkin spice latte, man. Macchiato
that's
too.
It. Hopefully, Starbucks is listening.
It's so good. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Jason Witten, because you talk about real men, Jason Witten, and you see the picture that we put out. Did we put that picture out there yet? We're going to put it out there. Jason Witten, that game against the Eagles where he got his helmet knocked off and he's running down the field and he's going like 50, 60 yards with no helmet, and he's got these guys trying to
no matter
to
who you are,
him.
Even if you hate the Cowboys, which I pretty much do, you got to respect that. And, like, you're like, dude, you are the man. Right?
And it's a short but sweet interview.
And where did he go to school, by the way? University of Tennessee. That's right.
Hey.
Come on, baby.
I think Kyle led the way for him, too, right?
Is that the house that Kyle Horner built.
Vol for life, baby.
Tennessee.
Vol for life.
When we come back, we'll hear from Jason Witten. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. And fellas, I had an opportunity to sit down, have a quick conversation with Dallas Cowboys 10-time Pro Bowl tight end Jason Witten. It is a short interview, but it's strong. And here is that interview with Jason Witten. Jason, tell me how important your faith has impacted you in your career in the NFL.
Well, it's been huge. You know, it's been my platform that I've been given, been blessed, fortunate. You know, I mean, certainly I want to be a really good football player and want to be the best that I can be. And over the course of my 15 years, I've tried to show the standard. But ultimately, being a follower of Jesus and having that as a big part of who I am, and I hope that shines bigger than any catch or block that I can make. And you know, we're fortunate as professional athletes to live out our dream, but certainly we have to understand where our blessing comes, and I ultimately really believe in that, and that Lord Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that, you know, is the biggest thing that I can do is try to be a shining light to teammates and encourage them as young men turn into men, that they can have that same salvation.
We find that sometimes challenging in this day and age where some people are trending away from faith and trending away from God, and it might be difficult for us to be outspoken and be open about it, yet you're able to do that. What do you say to people who may shy away or may be afraid to share their faith, to just put it out there and embrace the spotlight?
Yeah, I think first off, it's normal to have those feelings. You know, it's tough to step out, but I think the biggest movement and growth that you can have as a follower, as a Christ follower, is that when you do step out and you can see that you can become a leader, you can become an encourager, and ultimately people can see that the way you live your life. You know, you don't have to be crazy over the top or do anything like that, just be you. And the cool thing in pro football is you spend so much time together that over time guys will see who you are, and I believe your true character as a Christian, it will show over time. And for me, I've been able to do that and had some great men that have mentored me along the way, and it's a journey, you know, and you're going to mess up, you're going to fail, but ultimately if you just fall back on Jesus, you know, you can accomplish the things that you want to, and ultimately you can have peace in your life, you know, and I think that's one thing that I've tried to show over the course of my career.
Amen. Thanks, Jason. Right. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you
so much. And that is Jason Witten, Dallas Cowboys, 10-time Pro Bowl tight end, and I love what Jason said there, especially that one quote where he said, being a follower of Jesus, I hope that shines bigger than any catch or block that I can make. That's a real man. That's a real man. It's about walking your talk and being an example. It's about sharing Christ. It's about using whatever platform that God provided you to increase the kingdom. And I just appreciated him being able saying that and putting himself, because he is someone, you know, playing for America's team, playing for Dallas. And it's difficult in that environment and in that locker room where he is.
True.
Because we talked about this before. Yeah. There is such a difference when I walked into that Cowboys locker room. And it was only one time post-game after a season-ending loss. Well, they won the game. But they were going home, and then versus the Eagles being there and knowing those guys, and you talk to a lot of Eagles players, we know what they're all about, and it was just a different vibe, a different feeling, just the language that was being used, and Jason, they need him in that locker room to be a leader, and they need him to be able to share as much of Jesus as he possibly can.
You know, and it is hard, and that's really where you do need a man up when the environment around you really isn't conducive or encouraging. When we talk about iron sharpens iron, you may not get that from anybody else.
Yep.
And so, Rob, I remember when you were telling me about that interview that there was pressure for Jason to leave, you know, from the PR guys. And he was really like, no, this is an interview that I want to do.
Yeah.
And really, he stood up at that point. And I think that's really what it comes down to is standing up for the things that are important.
Yeah.
Standing up for the things that you believe in. Standing up for the things that are right. Not what culture says you should do or because it's a popular thing to do, but because it may be the hardest decision you have to do. And I think that part of being a man is making the hard decisions and doing the things that you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah. I think you know, what you just hit on there, you know, both Rob and Doug, is that, you know, one of the greatest tests every human being will ever take is not their final exam for their, you know, their degree or their, for the PhD or for their master's class. The greatest test all of us take on a regular basis is the allegiance test. Who will we be? Who owns our allegiance? Are we going to be, you know, are we going to be an allegiance to our friends or to our parents, to the team, or is our allegiance to Jesus? And all of us are faced with that all the time, because it's easy to say Jesus until the people that we love or the people that we want love from disagree or disengage from us because of the choices that we make or are going to make. And that's constantly stuff that we talk about with our team. We are faced all the time with the test of allegiance. And I'm not going to have my allegiance to my friends, you know, and that's in our culture right now, loyalty. You got to be loyalty, mm-hmm. loyalty above all things. I am. I'm going to be absolutely loyal to Jesus. And if that means that I'm going to stand up in the middle of the locker room and not use that language, use language that's counter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be involved with that conduct, not just in private, but in public as well. Then that's that Peter standing around the fire, right? And when Jesus is arrested, and the little servant girl comes and says, "Hey, Aren't you one of those? You're one of those Jesus freaks, right? You go to that church, right? Now you listen to that preacher. Oh, you believe that Bible? And then Peter's, you know, he fails the allegiance test, just like we all do sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what Jason was saying, too, is, you know, you don't have to walk into the locker room and try and just get everybody's attention.
Correct.
Right? But what he was saying was the more that you're yourself and the person that you need to be, people will come around to you.
Yes.
And I think that to be the man isn't an instant thing.
Yes.
To, like, walk into a room and all of a sudden be, hey, you're the guy.
Right.
Right? It takes time. It takes perseverance. It takes making decisions that are hard over a period of time to really get that notoriety, that esteem, and the respect from other people.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really what it comes down to, the respect of your kids, the respect of your wife, of your friends, and of people
there's
that...
There's got to be consistency.
Yeah, and I think the last point with that, too, is, Rob, something you always talk about, too, is the people that don't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the janitor, not the VIP person,
right,
or the person that's, you know, everybody wants to be.
God, I hate that term, VIP.
I know you do, and that's why I threw it out there. But it's the person that doesn't mean anything or can't do anything for you. How are you treating that person?
And Pastor Kyle hit on loyalty, and we find a lot of athletes, guys, who struggle with that because they're under that pressure to keep it real, right? You got to keep, don't forget the boys back in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Don't forget where they have to, even when those influences are trying to bring them down. And Doug, what you were saying about you can't just walk in and be the man, because it's true. Your character, as Jason was saying, will come out. It will show over time. So if you're the guy who walks in and you're trying to live the right way, let people see that example of you. But now eyes are going to be even – they're going to be – scrutiny is going to be more intense because people want to see you – they want to see if you crack under pressure. They want to see if you fail, and then they're going to look for that – oh, he can't be that way all the time.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. And I think that kind of gets misinterpreted sometimes because – no matter who we are and where we are in our journey, we're all going to fail. We're all going to break down at some point. We're all going to make a mistake. So we shouldn't be judged upon that. But there is a level. There is a level of what you do. You know, if you're preaching all the time and then you're getting, in some cases, I've heard of some athletes who are in their locker room, in their clubhouse, talking about, hey, it's either you either follow Jesus or you're going to hell. And I can appreciate what they're saying.
Yeah.
But then they're getting arrested for sexual assault.
Right.
You know,
money laundering or whatever.
So you got to be careful about how. First of all, you got to walk your talk all the time. And even though we say, and I feel it a lot, because the closer you walk with Christ in your journey, the enemy's going to attack you more. But that's where you really got to man up and be strong.
Yeah, you always say that, Rob. That's kind of one of your pieces, walk your talk, right?
Yeah.
So one thing that my dad always said to me growing up, and I've mentioned it before, is your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying.
Yep.
That's nice.
You know, it's
that.
Like where you don't even need to get up and preach. You just do what you need to do and have people watch and say, what's different about that guy? He doesn't say it, but he acts it and he lives it and it's part of his life. I think the next piece is that doesn't mean that you're perfect and doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. But what do you do when you mess up or a tough time comes? Do you ask for forgiveness?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you going to blow up? Are you going to get angry? Are you going to yell at some guy? Yeah, you might. Right. But then you turn around and say, hey, brother, I'm sorry I did that. That was wrong of me. And not make an excuse. And I think that's the biggest thing I try and do with my kids or my wife. It's not a matter of saying, well, because you did this, that caused me to act this way. And I'm sorry I did that, but, you know, whenever you apologize and you follow it with a but, you're just making an excuse for what's going on, right? So it's a matter of saying, that reaction that I had was completely wrong, and will you forgive me for that? And I think when you do that, that does show that you're the man, right? I mean, because you're not trying to be perfect. Perfection doesn't make you the man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a standard that is unattainable by any human being.
Sure it is, yeah.
And so when we actually present ourselves as being perfect, we're actually marginalizing the blood of Jesus Christ, because we need forgiveness.
Right.
We need constant power of the Holy Spirit to change us. But you said something interesting, Rob. You know, the truth is, you know, we need to actually judge people off the movie, not the picture. You know, sometimes we take a picture and think it's the movie. But it's not. It's just a clip of their life. It was a moment
of their
life. It's
just a chapter.
Right. It's just, you know, we have to, you got to look at the movie of things. And I think the real issue sometimes is that we judge people off their actions and ourselves off of our intentions. We're like, yeah, but I didn't really mean that. But, you know, you got to know my heart, and I didn't really understand that. Yeah, yeah, but we're judging someone else off their action. I can't believe they said that. They did that. I thought they were a Christian. I thought that they were good. I thought that they were. And we have to realize that people have bad days. We're broken human beings.
You don't know what's going on in their life.
No, look, broken people break people. And so that's why our goal is not to be perfect. Our goal is actually to be healthy.
We started off the show, and I gave you this long list of what I thought a real man could do, and I gave you practical examples, changing diapers and vacuuming and helping your wife and doing dishes and walking your talk, really, and manning up and just being the kind of guy who, as I said earlier, priest, provider, and protector of your household. I'm going to talk a little bit about failure. And some of the ways I failed in the past, thinking, you know what? And a lot of men feel this way, right? A real man's all about getting girls, getting the numbers, chasing hot women, hooking up and hanging out with, you know, how many digits you got and who you're with and who you're sleeping around with. And I fell into that foolish, you know, hazardous way of living for a long time before Christ really saved me from myself and from my destructive behavior. And I look at it now and I go, a real man is spending that Friday night on the couch with his wife and kids instead of out at the bar hanging out trying to hook up and meet other girls. When you're married, that's what a real man's doing. It's not going out there and doing that kind of thing. And it's difficult in this society where all they do is push on you, sex sells. It's all about being the hottest, the prettiest. Everything you see on social media, mm-hmm. the selfie culture, yeah. right? Everybody, the filters, everybody, if everybody looked as good as that filter makes them look on Instagram, right? You know, and we get so caught up in that. And I want to speak to men out there just for like 30 seconds about this. I was in that way of life. I was in that real man. I'm measured. You know what I measured myself by? I measured myself by how many girls I could hook up with. And I look back on that foolish, horrific behavior, and I go, I wish someone had a show like this, or someone got in my face and said to me, you're not being a real man doing that. You're being a phony, pathetic excuse for a man. That's not being a man. Being a man is treating women with love and respect, whether you're in a relationship or even if you're not in a relationship and you're just dating and now you're going behind one girl's back and the other one you're trying. That's not what real manhood's all about. Being a real man is honoring women and treating them equally and with love and respect.
Rob, that's such a powerful testimony. Yeah. You know? And I think that we look at that not just from that standpoint, but what kind of car do you drive, or what kind of, how much money you make, or what kind of
your
job do
account,
you have?
Right?
You know, you're walking around in a suit that costs thousands of dollars, and it's not the social media appearance of the pretty picture that you can post, right? It's all about the depth and who you are, the character that really comes out. And you know what? It's hard to judge because nobody sees that all the
time.
Yes,
exactly.
Right? And
yeah,
a lot of times, like you said, Kyle, it's what's done behind closed doors, when you're alone, when somebody's hurting and how you have to step up. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to be the man because sometimes you don't get the glory for it. You know, and
Nor should you seek it, right? You shouldn't seek that glory. A real man doesn't seek that glory. And one of your favorite athletes of all time is probably Chase Utley, right? One of the greatest things I ever heard him say, because he wasn't a showboat.
Right.
And he said, my dad told me when I was a kid, if you're good, you don't have to tell anybody about it.
They'll let
you know. And that's what being a man's all about. If you're a showboat and you're talking about, oh, look how great, and we all fall into that. I'll flip my bat in prison when I hit a home run.
But in prison when I hit a home run.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. We need to clarify that.
We need to clarify
flip my bat in
when
prison.
You are playing softball against the prisoners in the, yeah, okay, good.
As part of the Deacon's prison ministry.
Right, we
got that clarified.
Most of us judge people and judge the value of someone off of what they do, whether on the mountaintop or when they're going through the valley. But I think more importantly than that is what they do in the in-between times. You know, on a gravestone, there's two dates: your birthday and the day you're born, the day you die, and the dash tells the whole story. the little dash in between.
So true.
And I think sometimes we're always looking at, well, what did they do when it was really, really bad? Or what did they do when it was really, really good? And I think, but most of life happens in the dash. And if we just need to be consistent, have a consistent walk with Jesus, a consistent walk with our kids, a consistent walk with with our spouses. It's the seed grows, the Bible says, it takes a process. First the seed, then the kernel, then it buds, and then it blossoms. We only usually look at, is it blossoming? Or I planted it. Yeah, but there's a process to this. And it's the same way, I think, in our testimony, in the way that we live life and people. Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Don't let them judge you based on your circumstance of life. That's what he's saying, but set the example. That word example, typos, the architect, the thing the artist would look at when he was drawing, the model he would look at when he was crafting something. He's telling us to be that kind of person, but in everything, in your speech, in your conduct, in your life, in your love, in your faith and purity. It's not just on a Sunday, and it's not just at a workplace. It's not at an opportune time on a mountaintop or a valley. It's in the dash, in everything in between.
Live that life in the dash. And sometimes we use excuses. There's people out there who use excuses because they had a bad father or they didn't have a father. Mm-hmm. Well, God is the ultimate example of what a father's love should be. And you can't continue to use that excuse, well, nobody showed me. I'm fortunate enough that I had it, that my dad, who is going through some things right now, set that example for me. I have never seen anyone. I wish I could be as unselfish as my father. My dad has never asked for anything in his life, and he showed me that by setting that standard, by always sacrificing for his kids and for my mom, for his wife. And to me, that is something I can always strive for, and I will fail at it every day because I can never attain that level. And that's something that I really hope that we can just really understand as men, that a real man puts God and family first before himself, always, in everything you do. When we come back, let's have some fun with this, because we always hear play and hurt. You play hurt, you're a real man. I did it always, and I'm suffering the consequences from it now. Let's talk about that a little bit when we come back. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign-off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or a catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery, and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Hey, And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner, and we are now up to episode 39. If you have missed any of our previous shows, you can catch up on iTunes. You can subscribe to Faith on the Field, download and listen at your convenience. You can also follow us online at faithonthefieldshow.com. Like our Facebook page. Leave us comments, questions, whatever you want to do. We've had some just an incredible lineup of guests, and we want to thank Jason Witten for being on with us for this show. Some of the topics, though, that we've discussed are really things that I hope that, and we hope that we can really just help people in their walk and in their journey, whether you are a believer or a non-believer. If you're going through a tough time in life, check out episode 31, Thankful Through the Storm. We spoke to Chris Maragos of the Philadelphia Eagles. Just last episode, we talked about rebounding from rejection, and no matter who you are, you've had rejection in your life. And we had Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, on. So check that out and make sure to share and tell a friend or two or three or a million about it. We're talking about being a real man, manning up, right? And I talked about my failures in the past, and here is one where this one's a tough one for me, because I played sports differently as a guy before I had children, as a single man, and then I play sports a different way now that I'm a father. And keep in mind, never got paid for it, because it's just playing, you know, flag football and softball and even baseball at times. But I've played in the past with broken ribs and risk puncturing a lung by diving and being stupid and doing things like that. And it's always like, you're tough, right? You're a tough guy. And now I look back at it and go, that's pretty irresponsible and dumb of me, because I have a family. And it's an interesting discussion, because I don't know. Pastor Kyle, you're a former quarterback at the University of Tennessee. Doug, you played sports. You still play sports, but you're an athletic trainer who's going to say, well, you got to be careful. And even like a couple months ago, where I'm trying to lift with this tendon, flexor tendon issue, and I'm like thinking, well, I want to be able to pick up my kids and not do, but I also want to work out. So where do you draw that
line?
It's
not a matter of being careful. And I think that's where we have to define that, because you can't say, hey, you know what, go out and play at 75%, because I think that's right. Stupid. That's stupid to say
you
that, right? Because an athlete is going to want to compete, and that doesn't make you a man or not a man, but that's your nature. You're going to want to dive for that ball. So you have to be smart about it, right? You have to be intelligent about knowing what's important to you. So when you talk about, hey, I want my arm to be able to work so I can pick up my daughter, I want to have my arm so I could type, so I could do my job, so there's a responsibility that I have, that it's okay if I don't win this game. And a lot of times we think, hey, I have to be the man and I have to win to be the man, when sometimes, you know what, you lose, but people respect you more by the way you played the game than the outcome of the game. So from an injury standpoint, I think it's more about being smart. I think we see that more with professional athletes nowadays, that they understand, one, there's a contract involved, so I want to be smart about how I play. Yeah. I don't need to come back just
the
for this game.
Long-term perspective.
I'm still a team player. I still care about the team. I'm still committed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to put my body on the line and come back before I'm ready to. So I think that's one piece to it.
Right.
So it's not a matter of being careful. It's a matter of being smart. So, you know, Kyle, I think you have, and we've had some discussion about this.
Yeah,
in the
past
too.
we've had great fun discussions. I mean, I grew up in the household of a coach, so you know,
a Hall of Fame coach, by
Coach
yeah,
Jimmy Horner.
That's
yeah.
right.
So you know, my perspective obviously has been helped to be tainted by that and formed by that. But you know, my dad used to say, "There's a difference between being hurt and being injured." You know,
it's a good quote.
Hurt you can play with. Injured is when you can't.
Most people are hurt during a football season. Right?
And absolutely. There's not the only day of football that you are not hurt is when you report for training camp. Every day after that is just managing pain. And I think that's really the question is really, how do you manage pain? I think probably, Doug and Rob, the greatest challenge for this isn't at the pro level any longer, because they're thinking about their brand. They're thinking about long term.
Yeah.
Their contracts, you know, are a little bit more set. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest challenge for this is high school and college kids who
Absolutely.
Are either trying to get a scholarship or trying to from in college, like where I was, there's 15 All-Americans behind you. If you're not going to play, you may not get back on the field. You know, I didn't want to get Wally pipped, right? I didn't want to, right? That plays through this whole process of, you know, you're asking me to value my future. Which one? Which future are you asking me to value? Yeah, as a 50-year-old husband, dad, I'm not jumping out of a plane any longer. I'm not. I missed that opportunity when I was 23, right? Because I didn't have a wife. I didn't have kids. I have to think differently. But when I was 20, 21, you know, I played with collapsed lung. I played with a torn out knee. I played with broken ribs. I played with a broken hand. You know, my wife tells me that I was stupid. And I think now when I'm 40, 50, hey, I probably was. But you're asking me to make a value judgment on which future? Which one? And it's hard to see that at 19. It's hard to see that at 20. It's hard to see that at 21.
When you got your whole career and your whole
life. Absolutely. And when there's dollar signs or when there's education attached to it. So I think it's more than just a man up moment. Although I do think back in the day, my dad would just say, rub some dirt on it, you're fine.
Let me ask you a real quick question. Does your dad's philosophy change now than what it used to be?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that because he's still bigger than me.
Perfect. All right, that's good.
You know what a real man also does? He makes brownies past the college.
Yeah,
I like that.
Real men
make brownies. That's going to be it for our Man Up episode, man. I loved it, fellas. This was great. Thank you to Jason Winton for coming on. Thank you to all our sponsors, Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for taking care of all of our technology. Thank you to our interns, Dakota Boring and Sal Tortora. Thank you to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle. Our producer, Ryan Lennox, behind the glass for flexing back there. Real man. That's it, baby. I like it. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I am Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.